In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. From the 11th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I've told some of you before that I sometimes have problems with God's sense of humor. I keep feeling he sort of likes to play jokes on me. And I have to share another one with you, and that is that when Father Dart and I were working on the schedule, I told him what had happened back when I first began my work in the province of Christ the King. Actually, it was the Diocese of Christ the King back then, and I said that the rector to whom I was assigned as curate told me that the nice thing about having a curate was that you could always assign them the task of preaching on Trinity Sunday. So you didn't have to worry about explaining complicated Christian theology. You know, leave it to the curate to do that. And I sort of smirked and said, "Well, unfortunately, Father Dart, Trinity Sunday this year is the third Sunday in the month, and I'm scheduled to be at the other church I serve then. So I guess you'll have to do the big, heavy-hitting theology bit." And just a little later, I got a call from the lay leader who said, "Well, we've got this problem, Canon, in June. I have to be out of town on the third Sunday in the month. So would it be possible for us to switch, and instead of your coming on the third Sunday, you let me do morning prayer then, and you come on the fourth Sunday?" Well, I called Father Dart, and he very happily agreed and didn't rub it in despite what I said, here I am. We hear the first part of the selection that I just read from St. Matthew at every Eucharist. "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden." But we may not think of the ending of that section. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I've been thinking about that particular verse for most of the last week. And the more I thought about it, the more complicated that statement of our Lord seems to be. Normally, we read it meaning, well, yes, I mean, the Jews saw in the books of Moses more than 600 commandments, positive and negative, and you had to worry about all that great number of different things. Were you doing it right for this, this, and this, and this? And that's a heavy burden to keep all of those commandments in mind and to be sure to observe it. And Jesus was so nice. He just gave us, you know, don't worry about 618. You only got two commandments you have to worry with. And we say, oh, that's good. You know, that's nice. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. But I got thinking, but those two commandments, yeah, there are only two we have to remember. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, in the first place, that's rather demanding. You know, I'm afraid that most of us spend a lot of our time not particularly thinking about God or thinking about loving God. And Well, I won't say necessarily with you, but some of us sometimes have trouble loving our neighbor as ourselves, especially when we're out driving in traffic around the 101 or something, and this wonderful Phoenix custom of left turns from the right-hand shoulder lane, and people weaving in. You know, it's hard to really, when somebody cuts you off like that, think, oh, brother, I love you. You might say the words, but is your heart really filled with love? Now, I know maybe none of you have trouble at all loving your neighbors. You're just always with, never find them tedious or anything. Well, the commandments, just when we look at them, seem to be not a particularly light burden. And in fact, it gets even worse if we really look at them. If we love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, what do we have left over to love our neighbor or ourselves? You know, Lord, yeah, you brought it down to two, and you never told us how to put the two together. And in any event, couldn't we have the 600 and some back? You know, it's a little easier worrying about whether the kitchen is kosher or not than it is that I have to love you above all things, even when the grease pops and hits my finger and it's burning like, well, you know, Lord, what it burns like. You know, it's a problem. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that in today's epistle, we have the beginning of an answer to this yoke is easy and burden is light. For notice that wonderful, wonderful account of heavenly worship, one of my favorite passages from the Apocalypse, describes this great scene of worship in heaven, the worship which our earthly worship joins as we with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven join in. And notice in this passage there are two hymns of praise. The living creatures say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." As we will join in shortly saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And then the human beings, the representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles, give praise saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Well, if we can see the world around us and all the circumstances of our lives as coming from God, as being created by God for His pleasure and for His good. You know, the book of Job describes the Leviathan, probably maybe a whale, maybe some other greater sea creature we haven't discovered, and describes it, and God tells Job, you know, it's a great big fish out there swimming around, jumping and everything, and I like to see it. It makes me glad, and I rejoice in it. How different from our modern nature idolaters who think nature is the end in and of itself. Can we not look at nature and see it transfused with God's glory? And look at it as we look at all things created. They are for God and for His glory. You see, this is to see the birds singing, and not singing in anger, or as our cockatiels do, screech because we've forgotten our duties to them, but to see this, their beauty, their song is the glory of creation. But the glory of creation is not nature, the goddess. The glory of creation is God's glory. And all things come and sing in His praise and in His glory. And even the smallest details of our life are ordered by God to His glory. And to see that, then, is not to see this as an end in itself, but to see it as part of the great offering to God. Our bodies, fearfully and wonderfully made, sometimes not functioning quite the way we think they should function, and sometimes we get irritated with the problems that we have, particularly those of us who, unlike you youngins, are getting a little older and finding that things aren't quite working the way we think they should. But God says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our bodies are there in their functioning, not simply fearfully and wonderfully made. And the more you study medicine, biology, all of those things, the more incredible the functioning of the human body seems to be. The little tiny tolerances that make it possible for us to live. But this is not simply to be used as a thing to get pleasure or to do things that we want. It is the glory of God in His creation. And the uniqueness of each of us. We aren't stamped all out on some cookie cutter type of template. Each of us has our unique possibilities. And we are created by God to love Him, enjoy Him forever, to do His will on earth as it is in heaven. And so, yes, we love ourselves as loved by God. A God who loved us even when we were rebels and sinners, who saw even then what we could be and become if we let His love transform us. And so we love ourselves because we know we are loved. You see, that's one of the things that we've found out about human beings, for all my problems with many areas of modern psychotherapy. One of the things that we've found out is that you love because you are loved. If you've never been loved, then it's very hard to reach out with that vulnerability and love others. But we are loved by the greatest of lovers, by a God who knows us completely, warts and all, and still loves us and wants us to be perfected in His love. And once we love God and see everything as joining in the great chorus of love, and we know ourselves as part of that which is loved by God, then yes, we can love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Love them as creatures of God. Love them because they are also the ones for whom Christ came and suffered and died and rose again to be with us forever. So, after all, it isn't two commandments rather than 600 plus commandments. It's two commandments which are interwoven and which, yes, demand the same thing that Moses demanded, that all of our life be sanctified by God, that all of our life be transformed by our awareness of God in our lives, and that this transformation comes because we know God's love in Christ. And that makes the impossible burden light. That means we too can join that heavenly chorus. Thou hast created all things, and they are for thee, surrounded, encompassed, coming from God in love, returning to God in love and joy. So his yoke really is easy. It just demands all our heart and our soul and our mind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.